All right, welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, a podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. So on today's conversation between Dr. Komar and myself, Mark Komar, we're going to talk about new careers and positions that are starting to open up in fields that people may or may not be aware of. And we want to make sure we shed some light on these positions. Not a lot, just one or two positions that you guys can start to look into and check into. But by making sure we talk about the holistic approach, and you know, this is what we're all about here on this platform. We have to make sure not only are we talking about, you know, your day-to-day workflow, you know, how you decompress from stress, how to set your goals for your career, but you need to also understand too, because we get myopic a lot of times with our approach to our careers, or we get so nearsighted in what we think we can do, we forget that there's other opportunities out there and being creative. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it right now, in media and news, Dr. Komar, I know you can attest to this, people talking about the fear of new technology, AI, how it's going to take over jobs and people are losing their jobs. And, you know, the fear process tends to close us off to what opportunities are actually becoming available to us. So what we want to do today is bring about, like I said, shed some light on some ideas, some new career paths that are opening up that you may be aware of and most likely you may not be aware of, that will allow you to be able to not only, if you are currently in your position now and you want to move into something else, but you're wondering what that can be, hopefully this can be one of those positions. Am I correct on that? What do you think, Doc?
That's correct, man. Yeah, you know, it's just lots of positions that are open and available, and people may not necessarily know the best fit for getting into the field, things like that. You know, you've heard of some different positions, but you're not exactly sure like what is what. So yeah, these are some of those things that I guess the plan is to go ahead and give them a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of background to help with that job search.
Right. So I'll jump it off real quick. One of the new, and it's not even new because it's actually been out here for a while, but it's getting a lot more notoriety within certain sectors and certain industries, specifically in the pharmaceutical industry, which is going to be a major disruptor here coming up shortly. And Doc and I are going to kind of go over that in other episodes coming up soon. But bioinformatics. Positions. Bioinformatics positions are starting to become a lot more prevalent when you talk about pharmaceutical growth and change in the pharmaceutical industry. So yeah, bioinformatics engineers, bioinformatics software developers, bioinformatics analysts, and all that is basically all the data that's coming from the bio research and, you know, chemistry, the data that they're compiling needs to get sifted through and get, you know, structured in a way where these companies understand how to, you know, maneuver in the right departments, where it needs to go and what information they're grabbing. And people tend to forget, again, because of what happened with COVID, you know, again, we were so focused on the death toll, right? Which that's, right. You know, for the lost people, we understand why, right? We get it. But we got so indoctrinated and enamored with just that, the average person forgets that there's research that's being done, right? The Moderna's, you know, of the world, everybody that was doing all the vaccine research, what you have to understand is to trying to come with something like that, it unearths a lot of new information, right? And there's a lot of information that has to be now sift through and put in certain categories and understood, like, okay, we found this. We thought this was the research. We did this test and this came up here, you know? So you need someone to be able to break all this information down. And that's what a bioinformatics, you know, specialist can do, right? So these are positions you can check into. And again, what you would need as far as language skills, you could start with like a Python, you know, growing to Java, all those type of things would be necessary. And again, obviously a science background degree of some kind would be ideal, right? Because you do need to understand, you know, biochemistry, understand the back end. What do you think, Doc, what I'm saying on that?
So with these bioinformatics positions, you know, a lot of it is... it's centered around, like you said, you know, looking through the data and crunching this data. You may or may not necessarily, I'm not entirely sure, right? So you may or may not necessarily need the full background into like a biology type background, right? If you understand the principle behind it, right? You know, your coding, like you mentioned, Python, Java, you know, not to age myself, but like C++ and things like that, right? Yeah, so if you know the ins and outs of that portion, you can use it to adapt to different scenarios and different situations. And so, you know, people may come in from the finance field, right? But they still have this background with the different coding types. And so then they end up moving into bioinformatics because, you know, everyone wants to know the data and the numbers behind what they're looking at. And so that can make for a more seamless transition, right? Or at least it can ease the burden of transition into that if you at least have that background.
No, perfectly stated. And you're absolutely correct. You know, we've been getting a lot of applications and a lot of requests for these type of positions. And you're right. It's, you said coming from a finance background, coming from a law background. Again, as long as, like you said, you have a basic understanding and you can do some deep dive research. But, you know, having those language tools helps tremendously in this particular position, especially if you're just doing, you know, analytics side of things, you know, that type of thing, you'd be better suited for that. You know, more so like the engineers, we've been getting a lot more recs that are asking more for that, like a little bit more of that science background knowledge, right? But at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. So if you're not aware or apprised of a bioinformatics position, you might want to check into that because again, there's plenty of opportunity amongst the pharmaceutical industry, as well as even the healthcare industry. They're looking for some of these positions to be filled as well. So that's one that we want to bring to your awareness if you didn't have that on your docket, on your plate. Doc, I know you got a position or two you want to talk about.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So technicians, typically, you know, if you're looking through any of these websites, things like that, and you're looking for a new position, a lot of times you'll see things listed as a technician, right? So whether it's a laboratory tech or any portion like that. And it can be a little confusing because when you read like the job description has this like grandiose thing that's going on with it. And you're like, well, I can't possibly do this position. But know that a technician, so those type positions are more so the get your foot in the door type positions. So don't be, you know, like stressed out by what's all written in the JD. Like, yeah, obviously, if they want you to have a chemistry or biology background, you need to have some sort of background in chemistry and biology. But these technician positions are more so like the entry level type positions in biology and chemical labs, things like that, so that you can get your foot in the door. It gives you some experience. You learn a lot as a technician. You learn a lot about the basis of, you know, the works that you're doing inside that company. And then from there, you know, you can kind of focus down a little bit more, or even depending on some of the companies, you have the opportunity to kind of like reach for a little bit more than what's just listed on the JD, right? They want you to do this. Maybe you have the opportunity to learn a little bit more from this portion over here. And that helps with your vertical growth within the company, right? So by learning more, getting more experience with different things inside the company as a technician, you can tend to work your way up through and say, okay, well, maybe now I can, you know, move on to, you know, becoming a lab scientist and furthering up like that. So the best example that I would have is to find yourself a technician position and to see about getting your foot in the door, at least. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I love what you said with that because, you know, getting your foot in the door from a staffing firm position and always talking, you know, as being recruiters, we talk to people so often about allowing themselves to present themselves to companies a lot of times because they do have the prerequisites, just to, like you said, get in the door. But so often people are thinking that they have to be, you know, the thorough, you know, senior position level and I have to have so much knowledge, and you necessarily don't. What they want to see is, can you, you know, come in and at least be willing to work with the culture, and you can grow with the culture of the company. And like you said, once you get in, show that you have the, you know, the desire to, you know, go and get some more certs or go, you know, and see, explore the new avenues of whatever the new position you're in. But I think so often we get so caught up, especially when we're looking to pivot positions, we get so caught up with, like you said, you look at the JD, it's like, I don't have all that. So I don't even try to even present myself, right? But I love what you said, the tech position, the technician position, to get it, your foot in the door is huge. Because I know you were doing a lot of seeking job seeking at one point. What were some of your things you had to overcome, if you will, looking at JDs?
Yeah. But I tell you, you know, it's in this moment, you know, I'm saying like, you know, don't be afraid about what's written in the JD and go for it. But I can say this only because I wholeheartedly was still freaking out by like what was written in these JDs in the beginning, right? So when I first moved out here to Switzerland and I'm looking for, different positions, things like that, and I'm reading these job descriptions, and I'm like, man, like what? Like I know, I was like, I know I have a PhD, like I get it, and I know I went to school to study and I have like a legit degree. But man, are they sure? Like, I don't know, man. Because then you start, for no reason, you're questioning, like, can I do this? Can I not do this? And it took me a while to like really sit down and focus, and just say, hey, look, they're looking for someone to do these positions. If I'm covering 80% of what they're looking for, why am I stressing? So it's overcoming that first step, right? Of like, not to. It's essentially almost imposter syndrome, right? So it's like covering that first step. But first of all, I can do this. I can do this work. So stop freaking out. And then if you don't cover 100% of what's being asked for, honestly, take a step back and look, like, what percentage do I cover? Like, do I have background wise from what they're asking me? And then be honest with yourself, like, yeah, I can probably do about 80% of this, or I've already done, about 90% of this. Throw in that application and just do it. Sometimes, even with a lot of these companies, I know they're looking for the perfect person and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times also they're like, well, this person maybe has only done about 60, 70% of what we're looking for, but they have the attitude, right? And they have the want to learn. And you can use that, a lot of these companies can use that because it's like this person's hungry, right? They want to do the work and they want to be good at it compared to someone who's like, yeah, I've already done this before and I can just do the same thing I've done before. Like, it's not sexy. So if I was hiring, I'm looking for that person that's hungry, right? So, I mean, I'm not gonna go get somebody that has 0, 0, 0 idea about what's going on, but at least a little bit. But that's what I'd be looking for more is that person that seems like it's they're hungry for it. And so that's what I went through when I was applying for, all these positions until I found what worked for me. And yeah,
And
it's just
you did all your searching on your own, right? You didn't use a recruiter of any kind, right? Everything was primarily
so.
Google, didn't you?
I found everything mostly on my own. I did have some recruiters that I reached out to, but my personal experience is, I had some issues where I told them where I needed to be, and they kept sending me job positions that were like 2, 3 hours away. And I'm like, bro, like I'm telling you guys, like I need to be closer to home. Like, and one I talked to a recruiter once and she said, well, can't you just buy an apartment? And so, you live out there during the week and then you come home over the weekend and be with your family. I was like, have you lost your mind, man? Like I get it. Like I understand some people if you have to do that, right? You have to do that. And I'm not knocking anybody who has to. But for me, I got two little babies, like they're young, what, 3, 2 years old, right? My wife's like, I can't get an apartment that's 3 hours away to go live at during the week. That's like, for me, that wasn't it wasn't conducive,
That's interesting you say that because it's like it goes back to, man, listen to what people are saying and listen to what the client needs. You are the client, and it's like for her to say that or for any recruiter to say that, it's like they didn't recognize who you were. Now, maybe you guys didn't have enough discussion as to, I mean, I don't know, but she just wasn't paying attention, it sounds like. But, if you have two little kids, you're like, I'm not that type of guy who wants to be away from my children, my family. Like, that's not me. So, it doesn't make sense. But, I think, and I thank you for sharing that story, guys, because as a recruiting firm, we try to make sure we listen to our clients and, the people we represent fully, thoroughly. If they say they need something within 30-minute proximity, then we have to find something within 30-minute proximity, not to go exceed that, right? And then two, once we get all of those preliminaries out the way, making sure we train you and teach you on how to represent yourself well. Because what you're saying, like, I agree with you. You tend to, in your own, even like you said, you had a PhD coming from the States. we all tend to get in our own head after we start reading and looking through things so much. We're like, oh my goodness, do I have, am I qualified? It's like, yes, you are. But a lot of times when you're by yourself, you know, it gets isolated and you tend to seep into the fear of or the lack thereof. And that's a natural human trait, right? That's a natural human trait. That's why you want to be surrounded with, that's why I always say your closest five people, books you read, things you listen to that are going to keep you inspired, because we need that in our down times, because you're trying to pursue a new job, you're in a new country, right? And it gets tough. What do you want to say?
No, you're absolutely right, man. It does get tough, you know, especially, yeah, like you just mentioned, being in a different country, you know, like it can be a little daunting, you know, at first, but
a lot of daunting.
Once you get out of your head, once you get out of your own head and you just realize like, I am good enough. You know, I'm that person. Like, you know, like I can do these things. And once you get, you know, into that mode, you feel so much better, because you'll get, you know, you can send out hundreds of applications. I know I did. And you can get back, you know, almost an equal number of nah, no thank yous. And that, like, man, that's a spirit killer. You know, you send out, you're like, oh, I'm perfect for this. I'm perfect for this. I'm perfect for this. And then they tell you, nope, nah, mm-mm. Or they just don't say anything. Like, that's so rude, man. So,
like I took time to message you and email you and craft this cover letter, and
you had me write a cover letter, you had me submit, and then I still had to type in all this extra info when you have a CV, like, you know what I'm saying? So I took the time to send this. You could at least tell me, nah, man, it's cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so just that little thing, man. So it can be, oh man, it can be a spirit killer, but also you just got to keep that attitude of like, okay, this isn't for me. This one isn't for me either. Like, it's cool because, hey, man, next thing, it's coming. The next one's coming. Just hang on. My son just busted through the door. What's up, bud?
No, I agree with you, brother. And that's exactly why I say, you know, it's okay if you feel like you got to go out there and do it on your own or research like he did with majority of it. But I also say still try to find a quality staffing firm, and it's not, you have to work through that. You know, you have to work, make sure there's communication, just like in a marriage. And I know you can attest to this, you know, Doc, that just like in a marriage, you got to have great communication, ad nauseum communication, right? To make sure, you know, because you're two different people coming together, right? And trying to make this family work, right? It's the same thing with a staffing firm and you as the, you know, client looking to get placed on a position. You want to make sure you're with a staffing firm that's going to talk to you ad nauseum. They reach out to you. They check on you. They see how you're doing with the family. They see what's going on with you. How are you feeling this week? How are you feeling today? You know, because we know you're, you know, in between careers and you're trying to find a job and you are at a senior level position, you know, or you're at a mid-level position, you need, you know, to earn around 120 plus a year, right? And you're out of work and you're on your last little bit of savings. But things can get stressful. Like you said, you sent out, you know, 70 CVs, you know, and you only got, you know, two positives, you know, and even at that, the two positives you got didn't even give you an interview, right? So it's like, it can get daunting and it can get, but get with a team that can walk you through and be your support system, be your cheerleader, but also to be your guide to make sure we're walking you into the interviews and to the companies that will receive you well, because there is a level of confidence, right? It's kind of like in sports when you play a bad team, right? And you know, and you whoop their butt, right? You get this level of superiority conference, right? Or confidence that you can now go out here and beat the champions of last year, right? Yeah, then you get to the champions, you're like, oh, we just got our butt beat, right? So you have to, but you know that you're a championship quality team. You still have to, you know, you still have to get these games where you get just the energy of, you know, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And the more you get those, when it comes down to playing that championship team again, now you're ready to really compete. So it's the same kind of concept, and I'm giving a broad analogy, but it's the same thing when trying to pursue these, you know, these careers. You want to position yourself where you're suited. When you go into these interviews, you may not get the response you want right away, but you want to walk out of it with the confidence that you're not defeated. And a lot of times I know a lot of people go into these interviews, or if they don't get the interviews, they go in feeling like they're defeated, like they're not worth getting these positions. And you really are. OK, so continue pursuing, continue going after it. And then just make sure we pick the right ones. What do you want to say to that, Doc?
Absolutely, man. You just gotta make sure, again, like, just know, like, you are that person, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have the degree, or you at least have the background. You can do this work, right? Know that, like, all right, first of all, I'm in my field. It's not like I'm just like a hard reach for something I've never, ever, ever done before. So you're in the field, like, you know what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Just put out that application, like, send it in, whether you cover 80% of what they're looking for or whether you cover like 50%, just give it a shot. Like, again, we understand that the worst that can be said is no, right? So, okay, get that out the way. There's two options normally in a yes no question. It's either yes or no, right? So you know, like, you already understand that no exists. No is a word. No is something that is there. Balance out a no, couple yeses. So throw that application out, right? You know, or excuse me, fill the application out. Don't just throw it out like, no, I'm not gonna do it. But, like, fill the app out, man. Send it in. Get your CV written up. Get your cover letter written, and send it in. Submit it, man. Give it a shot, because the worst thing is like, oh man, I don't know, or like, I wonder if, like, wonder if is the worst. Like, just do it. Just do it. It's okay if they say no. Keep pushing. Hit the next one, man. And oh, one good thing, if I could give a tip, if it's cool, when you're filling out these, like, cover letters, a lot of times it becomes monotonous, right? So you change, like, the company name that you're addressing it to, and you leave everything else the same because you've already written it like 50 million times, right? Just make sure you give it a once over, and really make sure you didn't leave the previous company's name in that cover letter, because I can tell you from experience, I did that by mistake. And so, you know, I got into, like, the monotonous, like, yes, the reason why I'm applying to this position is because I have my background and this, da, 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 da. And, like, I changed the, I'm addressing it to this company, but at the very, very, very bottom of the cover letter, I forgot to change the company's name out from the previous application that I submitted. So, you know, it had company B sitting up here at the top, and then company A was still written in my, please feel free to reach out to me so I can talk to you more about what I can offer company, A. And I was like, oh man, like, you see that late. So just give it a once over before you submit it. Mistakes, they can occur, and it's okay, you know? So, but yeah, just make sure you, like, really give your applications a once over and make sure it's all set up and proper.
No, great point, Doc. Great point. And yeah, we're gonna go over a little more in depth later on episodes about how to put together a proper resume and making sure whether you're using ChatGPT, whether you are getting to the monotony of doing, 15 resumes in a day. You're like, I just need to copy and paste.
That's it, man. You open it, you change the names, but man, yeah, like, that's like the worst too. Because I sent off an app before, and I like reopened it later, and I was like, oh no, dang. Well, I'm not getting that one, and it's okay, man. You know.
As we do that, that's just like, oh, okay, I guess this is not gonna work out like I thought. It's okay.
Well, that's a mistake. I mean, it's all right, man.
But like, that's the thing, man. This is real life, and it happens. You're not the first. You're not the last. You're not the only. It happens. And I would say this, man. You got to pat yourself on the back, because at least you're putting in the effort to make it happen. A lot of times, so often, people sit on the action steps necessary in order to get recruited, in order to get, picked up and hired by these companies. Again, the more it's just like dating, right? You have to date a few times, and not unless you just, some people luck up. You have the outliers who find their soulmate the very first one, right? That's cool, right? But most of us,
No, excuse me.
huh? Most of us, if you're like me, you gotta keep trying. You gotta keep, putting yourself out there in the field. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's okay. But you learn every step of the way, and what you learn too is to be at peace with the mishaps, if you will. And like he said, like, he filled out the resume, because he's not the only one. I've heard this many a time. Like, well, I've seen it, you know, like I've had, you know, candidates, you know, I'm like, look, we have to redo this. We asked you to send this in for this company. And it still has this company's name on it, right? It still has this profile that you're suited for, but you didn't highlight this, right? You didn't put this as keywords. So we all go through it. It's okay. Just don't beat yourself up. Keep putting yourself back into the game. And I promise you it'll work itself out. So on this particular episode, we kind of went from the positions and then how to, I guess, kind of go about getting the positions and work your way through it. But just to recap one more time, informatics positions, check into those. Again, if you have Python, Java, like he said, C++, if you have that type of knowledge, you would be suited well to at least like we're talking about. You may not have, like he said, you may not have the 100% of what they're looking for, but you might have the 70-80% that they're looking for. Most time that's quality. And if you talk to companies like Kane Ross, we will walk you through, you know, everything else that you need, the soft skills necessary to close on that interview in order to be able to get that position. Okay. And then the other positions that we talked about was, Doc, your position was?
As a technician. Apply for a position as a technician. It's one of the best ways to possibly get your foot in the door and, you know, to learn a lot about these companies and to be able to grow upward from there.
And what, just to give them a soft background or what they may need as far as job descriptions might, you know, that would get them in the door?
Yeah, so typically these are all just like, do you have a background in chemistry, biochemistry, right? Do you have experience working in the lab? Have you done any type of, most of these companies are looking for like cell culture work and other portions like that. And so it's, you know, look through, see what you've done and, you know, while you're in university. See, you know, like what, like really think about the different labs. So even if it's just you took a lab and you ended up doing like one portion of this, mention it because you technically did it, right? So like go through, see what these job descriptions are looking for or what this listed in and like, you know, really dig through what you've done in school, think about it and put it in the resume and let them sort through, let them figure it out. Don't weed yourself out.
Right. I think that's let's end on that. Don't weed yourself out. Let's go for it. So ladies and gentlemen, we hope these two positions have kind of helped you kind of, you know, just get an idea of what's out there and if you haven't thought about it. And what we want to make sure we bring to you, like we said, the holistic approach to your career development, growth processes as you go through it to be the complete person. We're going to go more in depth on what you can do in your, you know, day-to-day workflows that he has done, that I've done, that help us continue to stay level-headed, take care of our physical and emotional selves, our families, which is most important. So therefore, when we go to the workflow, it becomes second nature and it amalgamates so smoothly like we want. Okay. And that's what we want to help you with here on this platform. Please like, subscribe, comment. All right. Let us know what you want to talk and listen to, talk to us about and what we, you know, what you like to listen and hear from us. And we're here to help you guys. Okay. So Doc, anything you want to leave him with before we let him go?
Yeah. Hey, get those applications filled out, Mia. All right. Go for it. Press that submit button. Get that CV written up. Don't tell yourself no. Let them tell you no. Or yes.
That. Perfect. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time on Higher Power Tech Podcast.